Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Samin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatyavishatani Mancha Kapatarunyascha Kripa Sindhu Yaneva Cha Patitana Amanyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Niramando Jagapate Govesha Govika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tata Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vedanta Shri Vatsali Yoga Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namasteshtam Manamapi Satchikutra Matra Sarupam Rupam Tasyarudam Rupurim Madhurim Bhushtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Samprapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Guram Tamnato Svi. Are we okay now with the translation system? Yeah? Okay. So welcome to everyone on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. Thank you all for coming. Do we have any guests here for the first time? Don't be shy. We won't embarrass you. No. Everybody's here since at least the second time. And most of you have been here not just this weekend and last and so many, but also during the last few days, during this Holy Name Festival, and this is very wonderful. I've been asked to speak something on this subject. I think the word used was speech, as opposed to lecture. Don't quite know what I'm supposed to do. But what I thought I will do is a combination of speaking and singing. And we can all sing together. And guess what we might sing together? We might just sing Hare Krishna. And specifically, I wanted to share with you just a few memories. We say in English, to go down memory lane. Lane means a small road. So wandering down this little road of memories, well, partly my memories, but also what we might call ISKCON memories, ISKCON collective memory. And I like to begin with part of this collective memory, which I was fortunate to not witness directly, but to visit. There's a certain place The place is in New York City. Whom among you have been to New York City? Any others have been to New York City and you survived? Okay, anyway, New York City has several different sections, and the sort of main, the most famous part is called Manhattan. It's sort of an island called Manhattan Island. And in a section on the south end, this is called Lower East Side. And this is where we could say the Hare Krishna movement in the West began. Well, there's so many things one might say, but I want to focus on a particular place in Lower East Side, and that is one park. It's called Tompkins Square Park. I was visiting there a few weeks ago. Little pilgrimage to Tompkins Square Park. It's just three blocks or so away from the center called Bhakti Center, which is a very nice facility, nice temple, beautiful temple there. So just two or three blocks away, four blocks is Tompkins Square Park. So what's significant about Tompkins Square Park is that this is where Srila Prabhupada would go with his small band of devotees at that time. At that time means 1966, and of course we're celebrating this year 50 years of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which started in New York in 1966, and it was called at that time the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, even though there was absolutely nothing international about it at the time. At one point, and I don't remember, Mother Lakshmi may know more exactly, but whether it was that Prabhupada suggested the devotees go out into the park and chant, or whether Prabhupada first led them. Do you remember? He suggested, yeah. They went and they did, and it was so nice, right? Brahmananda Prabhu and others, they found it was just so wonderful to sing Hare Krishna in this park, and they came back. They were so excited. They told Prabhupada, it's so wonderful. And then sometime soon after that, Prabhupada joined them. And there's a very famous photograph of Srila Prabhupada standing in front of a tree. I guess it's an oak tree. And he's giving a little talk. And people, curious people, are standing about. Some are sitting and listening. And you see from the photo that it's quite a mixed crowd. And Prabhupada is just looking, as we say, so thoroughly transcendental. It looks like he came down from, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if in the background there would be a spaceship that Prabhupada had just emerged from. And he just, he's there and he's speaking about the Hare Krishna movement, the Krishna consciousness process, chanting Hare Krishna as he did in his sort of sweetly determined and authoritative voice. So we went there, I was just there a few weeks ago with a couple of brahmacharis from the local temple, and I was happy to see that this tree now has a little sign on it, a bit high up, a little sign says, the Hare Krishna tree. So the city of New York has recognized that this is a holy place. Yeah. All right. So I like to think that in many ways this is where the Hare Krishna movement began. Prabhupada used this word movement quite a bit, actually. He wanted to start a movement. He saw that it was happening. And the movement was based on, of course, the chanting of Hare Krishna, and on what he would say so many times is the authorized literature, the Vedic literature, especially the Bhagavad Gita. So I want to kind of take a few steps and maybe a few jumps and a few leaps through the chanting of Hare Krishna as kirtan, as sankirtan. And I thought we should start with the famous melody that Srila Prabhupada used to sing. And I'm sure most, if not all of you, know this song, this melody. And probably if Hari Bhakti Prabhu were here, he could tell us exactly which raga it is. But what I wanted to point out, well, let's just start.
Yeah.
So basically the Hare Krishna movement started just with this. And as far as I know, devotees would, that was the melody. That was how you sing Hare Krishna. You sing that melody. It's the Hare Krishna melody. That's it. Of course, it was, as I mentioned, out in this park, but also in the center of what I suppose they were calling the temple. What was the temple? It was a little storefront, really small storefront, number 26, Second Avenue, a place which had formerly been called Naturalist Gifts, and the devotees immediately took it up as being very meaningful, that indeed the gifts that are being given in this otherwise nondescript storefront are indeed matchless. And so the sign is still there today. It says Matchless Gifts. Matchless Gifts, 22nd Avenue, is still being run by the devotees. It's being rented. The neighborhood is changing. Immediately next door, they're now building a high-rise building. It's going to even more dwarf. But the point I wanted to make is that in 22nd Avenue, they probably would have kirtan. And he would encourage the devotees and the people, whoever came, to bring whatever instruments, musical or less than musical instruments, and play them, or try to play them. And they would. And what a sound, what a ruckus, what a sound it would make. Prabhupada just would chant and chant and chant, and he would get them chanting and chanting and chanting, and this was the main program. As we heard, those of you who were here this morning, Chandramali Maharaj played for us a recording of Prabhupada speaking, where he said, "This is our program, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, chanting, dancing, taking prasadam, and if you need to, take a little rest." So this was going on. It was even though it was called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, at that time it was the 22nd Avenue Society for Krishna Consciousness. Until Mukunda Goswami, at that time Mukunda, before that Michael Grant, went west. And long story, that's described in great detail in his wonderful book, Miracle on Second Avenue. He opened a center in San Francisco, and then he invited Srila Prabhupada to come. And Prabhupada said, "Yeah, send me a ticket, I'll come." And when the New York devotees heard this, they couldn't believe it. How is it possible? Prabhupada is going to go somewhere else. And they became very anxious, actually. What are we going to do without Prabhupada? And Prabhupada, actually, I think it was after he left, sometime later, I think it was from San Francisco, he wrote them a letter and said, "You can put a picture of me there, and this will, then you will feel my presence." So, in San Francisco, because Mukunda Goswami really had a spirit of, let's spread this movement, and the best way to spread it is with musicians, because he himself was a musician, to get celebrities involved. And so they organized, he and Shyama Sundar, and they organized an event at a place called the what is it called? Ballroom. Just the Avalon, thank you, the Avalon Ballroom. Now this Avalon Ballroom means a place where you dance. This place was a special haven for the current rock music scene. And the rock music scene at that time, this was 1967. Think about it. What happened in 1967 in San Francisco? Anybody other than Lakshmi Moni and Janami Devi knows what happened?
Hippies.
Yes, the hippie movement. It really came together. They called it 67 summer, the summer of love. But it was the summer of love because Srila Prabhupada came there and he gave the Hare Krishna mantra. So they organized this program at the Avalon Ballroom together with some of these rock music groups and together with Allen Ginsberg, who was this super radical poet. He was something of a recognized poet in America. He was a transition from the beatniks to the hippies. He was part of the beatnik scene, wasn't it? Well, you can just laugh. And the interesting thing about all of this is that Prabhupada would just, when Mukunda Goswami would say, you know, we've organized this program at this place, he'd say, yeah, okay. And he would go, and they would do it. And Prabhupada knew the condition of these young people at this concert was not normal. They were all on some sort of intoxicant. But okay, whatever. We just spread the holy name. And this reminds me also, I mentioned the other day, Prabhupada was telling his godbrother about the particular tonic for being successful in spiritual life. It is a formula. And the form, would you like to know this formula that Prabhupada says? Trinadabhi sunichena taroriva sahishuna amanina manadena kirtaniya kirtaniya sadahani. One can chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Yes, sada, sada. He said that's the formula. And we also heard from Chandramali Maharaj this other story, how another godbrother of Prabhupada had a bit challenged a third godbrother, that you were preaching, but how come you weren't successful? Whereas Bhaktivedanta Swami was successful. I will tell you why he was successful. Because he had full faith in the holy name. Because he had full faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Okay, I wanted to. Time goes fast. I thought to tell a little of my own experience of kirtan. We're 50 years old now as a society, and I'm 40, almost 44 years old as far as my devotional life goes. So it's been a few decades. And, okay, a tiny bit of my how I joined the Hare Krishnas. I first saw devotees in Berkeley, California, which is just across the bay from San Francisco. This was 1969, and this was, I was just beginning to go to the university, and this was all part of that scene. It was kind of spilling over from San Francisco, the hippie scene, and there was the Berkeley alternative everything scene, anti-everything scene. We were anti-everything. University of California, Berkeley was the place where one regularly, as part of one's education, participated in anti-war protests. And as a result, one got some dose of tear gas, which is, I can say, not at all a pleasant thing. Immediately at the main gates, the main entrance to the University of California, Berkeley, there the devotees had kind of staked out their territory. They were there every day, 5 days a week, for at least 6 hours a day, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
6 hours a day, you could not avoid seeing and hearing the Hare Krishnas if you wanted to go to the university. They were always there. And on the weekends, they were just a couple of blocks from there, down the street. So I would see them, and I would think, pretty far out. Far out means, what's a good Slovenian translation? Far out. Far out! Wow, that's become part of the language. Sorry, it was, you know, it's not me. I bring this to your country. Anyway, so this, after a while, you go by every day, hearing Hare Krishna. It starts to soak in. It starts to go inside a little bit. And you start to notice, hey, there's something about those people. Every time you see them, they're happy. They're smiling. How come they're happy and they're just standing in midst, you know, singing this this little song, and here we are, we're students, you know, studying this, and we're not happy. How come? So thinking like that. Anyway, fast forward 2 years, I meet devotees in Germany, and next thing I know, I find myself on the street wearing a pink sheet with a shaved head and some paint on my forehead. With a group of, altogether we were about six or seven, Brahmacharis in Stuttgart, Germany. And we're chanting Hare Krishna up and down the main shopping street. And here's one of the melodies that we used to sing. You want to hear this melody? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. down the street singing such melodies like this. And we had Prabhupada's personal mridanga at that time. I don't know how it came to Germany, but we had Prabhupada's. He had this huge mridanga. It was bigger than these. It was really big. And we used to use this mridanga until it fell apart. We didn't know how to take care of it. And it just got worse and worse. And sometimes the temple president at that time, he had a very, how to put it, missionary spirit. And sometimes this would get us a little in trouble. Sometimes, I think he grew up in some part of England where people would get in fights a lot. So he tended to get in fights. And sometimes the mridanga would be involved. Anyway. So we'd go up and down the street for half an hour. And then we'd stop. Now the city is purified, we can distribute books. Actually, we didn't have books, we had magazines. We had Sugotite magazine. My first day distributing Sugotite magazine, I distributed 13 copies. For one Deutschmark each. Came back with 13 Deutschmarks. Rich. So we'd do like that. We would do Harinam up and down, and then we would distribute for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then we could feel the material energy creeping back in. So then, okay, quick, we gotta have more kirtan, and then we do kirtan. And okay, now then we go and distribute magazines. Eventually, books. We had German Ishupanishad, and well, that's a whole other story. At one point, certain devotees found that they could really distribute a lot of books, and so why not just do that? And so they would. It became more like that, and the kirtan eventually got phased out. And that's something I always felt was a mistake. Because I felt, as I had seen in the very beginning, I'd seen the devotees singing and, you know, looking like Hare Krishnas. And distributing their literature. It all made sense. But then it got separated out. At one point, and I always thought, when, oh when, will that day be ours that we go back to doing as we had done before? So, at some point, we started having sort of formally organized programs in halls. We would rent a hall, or someone would sponsor, and maybe get some small or medium-sized place. Sometimes it was half this size, sometimes maybe this size, sometimes maybe a bit bigger. And we would do programs which were a little bit structured. We would start out with some bhajan, with harmonium, kirtans, mridanga, and so on. We would sing different bhajans and also Hare Krishna. And then one person would give a talk, and, you know, then there would be prasadam. Sort of typical what we started calling a public program. Sometimes with more success, sometimes with less success of how many people would come. This also, of course, Srila Prabhupada had been doing. There's a famous photograph of Prabhupada in London at Connolly Hall. It's a quite grand hall in central London. At another place, or maybe it was Connolly Hall, they had one program, and practically nobody came except the devotees. Was that Connolly Hall? And the devotees who had done the organizing felt very bad that they had failed to, you know, bring a crowd. Prabhupada gave a lecture as if the hall was full. He spoke. So this Krishna consciousness movement, you know, he just spoke like that. But at the end, the devotees apologized. Prabhupada, we're so sorry. You know, hardly anyone came. And Prabhupada said, "What do you mean? Nobody came. Didn't you see? Narada Muni was there. Lord Brahma was present." From his perspective, the demigods were present. So he was seeing in that way. Higher beings. So we would do these little programs around Germany. Our sort of basic group, there was Harikesh Swami, there was Satchinandana Swami, Bhaktivaibhava Swami, myself, sometimes one or two others. And at one point we got the idea to give ourselves a name. We called ourselves the Gauranga Bhajan Band. And okay, eventually we had a program here in Indiana. Which year was that? The first? 92? 93? I thought we quit by 91. Someone had the idea, one of the devotees in former Yugoslavia had the idea, why don't we go into schools and sell tickets to our programs in advance? We can just go in the school and, you know, ask the teacher, "Excuse me, we have this program, do you mind 5 minutes?" And they did that, and they were incredibly successful. They sold tickets to all these kids. So we went from having programs with maybe 50 people or 100 people, maybe 200 people. Suddenly we had a program with 2,000. Whoa. Well, now, this is getting serious. 2,000 people, we have to really give them their money's worth. And in a short time, we enlisted Krishna Prema and his wife, Nitya Tripta. She had this multi-vision show, as it was called. We enlisted one break dancing pantomimist. We had different ones at different times. We enlisted some devotees to make basically an electric band with, you know, drums and the whole thing. At this point, I started to feel like this is the beginning of the end. You know, Hare Krishna, with mridanga and harmonium. That's my understanding of how you do this. But on the other side, we would see all these people, and they would be jumping up and down and dancing. And how could you argue against that? They're singing Hare Krishna, they're dancing. Okay, it's with the rock music, but okay, whatever. You know, lower chakra music, but at least it's... At least it gets them moving, you know? Okay, so then that got off the ground, we had a program with 2,000, and in Poland we had one 6,000. And of course, as some of you know, the sort of grand climax was in Moscow. And I'm pretty sure that was 91, in this big covered sports stadium. Estimated 35,000. Yes. Do you want to hear one of the melodies? Okay, I haven't practiced it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This was cool. And yeah, basically It was nice. Yeah. One other melody I remember from that was, I think it was from a rock melody originally. What was it called? All Along the Watchtower or something? I don't know if I can do this. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Suggest that Prabhupada said that people will look back in the future. They will look back and they will see this Hare Krishna movement has made history. And isn't it wonderful to be part of the history? So there's already within this short span of time, 50 years, actually so much history. And we can see that just in the way kirtan has, dare I say, evolved. Not to say one way of doing kirtan has somehow become better than another, but it's changed. And we are, yeah, we're part of that change, and I think this is a wonderful thing, that we are making history. Making real history, because mundane history, what is mundane history? It's just about things which ultimately are to be forgotten. But this history is to be remembered. And therefore, if we take the spirit that Srila Prabhupada taught us, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, Trinada Visani Jena, Tarori Vasayishana, Amanana, Manadena, Kirtanas, then we can go on chanting without stopping. Kirtaniya Sadavani. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Sri Sri Panchatattva Ki
Jai.
Gaur Prema. Thank you all for your kind attention, and I think now something else. That was, thank you.